HobbyListHome.com. Welcome, I'm your host Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is March 18, 2012. This is episode 63 of the To-Do List Home podcast. Make a path to a better life and stay out of the mud. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Go to Sleep by Radiohead, recorded on Hail to the Thief from 2003. And this is exactly what this nation did back in 2003. So wake up and listen to Go to Sleep. Have a listen through the link that can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research. Learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger. And thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Todolisthome.com is your stop for home and life projects. We save you money and time, or at least we try to. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites are at todolisthome.com. You'll find files that you can download for your to-do list. You'll find the books that we recommend to help you get the things on your to-do list accomplished, sometimes no matter what they are. And we want you to share your to-do list ideas with us. Our home projects and endeavors for making a better life become stories, and sometimes humorous stories. I like to make fun of myself, and I know others do. And these stories are how we put past experiences and research together to present you homework and life projects with a purpose. It's not always important what we do, but it should always be important why we do things, especially if we're trying to make a better life. On our to-do list today is make a path to a better life and stay out of the mud. Now, you know, I try to add a little philosophy to my titles because, you know, what it is telling stories about what we do around here to keep things moving along and being productive. And sometimes having a little bit of philosophy is not a bad way to stay motivated. Staying out of the mud is always good because if you walk in mud often enough, one of these days you're going to fall on your ass and get covered in mud. Now, that's literal and it could be subliminal too. It doesn't necessarily mean the mud that you find as a result of rain and dirt. But there's a lot of muddy things out there in this world, and if you step in the wrong place at the wrong time, or you don't watch where you're going, or if you know that part of your path every day goes through a muddy trail, do something to make it better, no matter what it is. Whether it's some of the people that we have to deal with on our daily lives, the commute routes that we take to and from our daily travels, and again, in my case, literally staying out of the mud, which is part of my daily commute. So I like to add a little bit of a bigger picture there and hope that what you get just from this simple story of what I'm doing to make a better place where I live and make it easier for me, especially with spring rains coming, to stay out of the mud. I know if I stay out of the mud and I don't fall on my ass in the morning when I'm getting my bike, I'm going to have a better life. Which brings us to today's episode. Now, if you take a look at the show notes at todolisthome.com, you'll see three pictures of, one, what the mud path to my backyard where I keep my bike used to look like, what the new walkway looked like upon the initial stage of putting it in place, and the third picture shows what it looks like today, and today is March 18, 2012. If you go to episode 56, Make a Walkway Over Mud and Keep Your Feet Dry, I explain why I needed to build this walkway. I've tried different things over the past 3 years, but I just can't seem to stop the mud. It's a small gully where my yard and my neighbor's yard come together. They form a little gully, and when it rains, the rain from both sides of the houses just forms a little muddy path from the back gate of my house that I have to walk past to get my bike out to the driveway. So it's about a good 40 feet long of a mud path, and I just couldn't take it anymore. What I did 2 weeks ago was I took this muddy pathway and I turned it into a gravel and stone walkway, and I was very impressed with what I was doing, and I knew I wasn't done yet. I got a lot of experience building walkways and concrete sidewalks and things like that. And the way this gully works, the deepest part of the gully is not quite the path that we walk on, so the gully is actually just a little bit lower than the walkway that I put into place, and I knew that was going to cause problems and there would be sliding. And my neighbor come over to check the next day, and he's a big guy, and, you know, he was pretty useful. He gave me some good advice about, you know, how to stabilize it better, and I knew I needed to do a few other things, too. It wasn't going to be just a matter of putting a walkway in, but I was going to have to ensure that, you know, the walkway doesn't end up getting covered by rainwater. So the problems that were posed, if I had left the original part of the job, what I put together in episode 56, if I stopped right there, what I would be experiencing over time is a sliding of the stones and a sliding in a downward direction into the lowest part of the gully. Rain would just kind of wash everything away eventually. It would wash the pebbles away. It would wash the stones away. It would not stay dry. And in the end, I would just end up with more mud. So what I needed to consider and plan was how to slow down the water flow from my side of the house. Not a lot I can do about my neighbor's side, but what could I do from my side of the house? And I get a lot of water there even on the dry days because I'm always doing a little bit of irrigation there. I got some gardens built there on that south side of the garage, which is just to the right of this walkway. As you're facing west, I needed to slow down the water. And one of the things that I thought was really great out of the book review I did for Gaia's garden was I gathered a lot of information about how to build contours and swales on contour and store and hold water on my property. And so to the north side of the walkway, okay, to the north side, so between the walkway and my garage, I had dug just about a 6-inch trench, the length of the walkway, the entire length of the walkway, and it's about, it's definitely halfway between the walkway and the gardens that are just to the right of the walkway as you're facing west. So we have my garage, we have the gardens, we have the walkway, and in between the gardens and the walkway, I dug a trench about 40 feet long, 6 inches deep. I layered it with pebbles, and then I put a nice big thick layer of straw in there. And then I covered that straw up with the original turf that I had dug up in the first place. And then I had sprinkled more topsoil and some other good dirt and humus manure and some peat moss all along that path there as well. So all along this top of this trench that I had dug out, I was really looking forward to a heavy rain to see if this works. And I covered it back up with the topsoil I removed, and then I put all this other soil on top of it. And then I recently seeded that. So I made a purchase of Master Mark Plastics Terrace Board, and I used the 5-inch by 40-foot landscape edging coil, and it's brown. It's made from recycled plastic milk cartons and egg cartons and apple cartons, all kind of stuff. And at first I wasn't sure how this would work. I thought about using landscaping timbers, but I wanted to be as unobtrusive as I could. I wanted to really do some good planting of clover along the path, and I thought that if I put in a timber, and that's going to take up like 4 inches on either side of the walkway, and I didn't want to do that. So I got this 5-inch by 40-foot landscape edging Master Mark Plastics from Amazon.com. There's a link to it in today's show notes. And this stuff was really amazing to work with. Not only was it fairly pliable, but it's very strong. At first, I was intimidated by how tightly coiled it was, and it's very hard plastic, and would this look right? But it's brown in color, which is very cool because it blends in very naturally with everything else around that part of the yard. Digging a ditch, a bit of effort actually, but it wasn't impossible, and using a shovel and a pickaxe, my son and I were able to, a couple nights ago, dig at least a 4-inch trench and about, 3 inches wide along either side of the pathway. We stretched out this landscape edging, to uncoil it and to make it straight, and we were able to actually put it into place pretty good, so it sticks up above the ground about 2 inches all the way across. Once we had the landscape edging in place, we packed the insides of it with pebbles that were available, and then we packed the outside edges with topsoil. On top of the topsoil, we put more peat moss, potting soil, and some sand, some vermiculite, and some humus manure all mixed in together and packed that real heavily together on the outsides of the landscape edging. So we build up where the gully was a bit lower than the walkway. We evened that out and leveled that out as best we could with a lot of extra topsoil. And we wanted to make this not only look nice, but we wanted to make sure that it's not going to slide anymore. And we needed to plant something in there that was not only going to hold the ground together and actually start to grow there, but actually look nice too. So I've had some Dutch white clover that I thought would be very appropriate to put in there. And so I put a nice mixture of Dutch white clover and winter rye in a bucket and mixed it up with some dirt. My son sprinkled it along both sides of the walkway. It was just starting to rain then, which is why we needed to get this job done Thursday evening, because I wanted to time it so we could get all the hard work done, get the seeds down, and then we covered it with straw, and then it started raining, which was really nice, and get that first evening in there. So as you can see from the pictures what it looks like now, it looks like something that's a lot firmer than what we did a couple weeks ago, and we also filled in the walkway in the extra spaces. We had to move the stones around quite a bit to respace them because there was some initial sliding before we put the lawn edge in. But once we straightened out the stones and remeasured every one of them, we put more pebbles down, and then we put the sides in, the lawn edging in. And then once that was in place, we put more pebbles in to go ahead and fill in the cracks. And I probably need to put in about an extra bag or so, but I want to wait and see how this works right now. And the last couple of nights I've had to go ahead and make sure that I continue to water the sides of the walkway where we planted the Dutch white clover, and where I had dug that swell and filled it up with straw and pebbles and put some new plantings in there too. So if this looks right in a couple of months, we'll have this nice little walkway with Dutch white clover growing up on either sides of it, and it's actually very stable now. I can actually ride my bike across this walkway, if you can believe that. It's very cool. It's very easy to transport the trash cans to and from the curb now, and we're anticipating the heavy spring rains to see if this system will actually work. Looking forward to see what it looks like once the winter rye and the clover take hold. So it wasn't a matter of just trying to build something on top, but the concept of building a system that is going to benefit from excess water rather than just try to transfer the excess water, but to actually, benefit and grow from the excess water is something that I want to see if it'll work. And again, philosophically speaking, taking this approach to the other mud paths we have in life, it's not just a matter of, avoiding the cause of the mud. The mud is always going to be there. But there are probably beneficial ways to take advantage of what comes to us in life. In my case, rain and mud. And as a result, I make a nice pathway. It looks nice. And hopefully it'll look beautiful once this clover comes up. And I'll provide more pictures as that goes forward. Going forward, I wish you luck in trying to make the best of the mud pass you encounter. And if you can't avoid them, build systems to work with them and benefit from them. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.